by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be here again for Epistle Live. And I'm sure we are all gathered this afternoon again to receive blessings of the Lord again. I want to welcome everyone again to today's edition of Epistle Live. Promises to be a time of great blessing again in God's presence this afternoon, in the name of Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give glory to your name. Thank you for your mercy that you have made available to us. Your mercy that you choose to have upon us. You declared that you would have mercy upon whom you would have mercy. And we thank you for that mercy, grace, mercy, help that we constantly find through your Son, our Lord Jesus. He will be seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, daily making intercession for us. We thank you for that fountain of mercy, that conduit of mercy that Jesus is to us as a church. We ask again today, by your help, dear Father, Father of glory, the Lord, you would pour again mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. May your mercy will be in abundance upon us. You would bless us again, raise us again, increase our sense in life in the name of Jesus. Increase our judgment in truth in the name of Jesus, and increase our expression of the life that is hid in you. Thank you, Father. We give glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, we are looking at the book of Timothy. One thought that kept coming to my mind, remembering Epistle Life, is Paul's admonition to, is it the church in Corinth now? When he told them, he said, you are our epistle. I think that should be 2 Corinthians, written in our heart, known and read of all men. Yeah, forgive me from verse 1. He said, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some other epistles? As some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you. Verse 2. You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, writing the second epistle to them, to the church in Corinth, that you are our epistles. These epistles is initially written in our heart, and we thought you these things, but you are now known and read of all men by your life. You know, the theme of this particular platform is called Epistle Life, and I believe the Lord is raising men from this platform, men that would keep bearing witness to the life that is in the epistle. They are not just written for us to add to knowledge. They are not just written for us to be able to quote scripture and shine. They are not just written for us to become erudite Bible scholars, but they are written for a life. So Paul says, you are the epistles that we have written. It is already written in our heart. We thought you, and you are now known and read of all men. So men can see you and read epistle. Men can see a people bearing a kind of a life and read the epistle in them. So I believe strongly that the Lord again in mercy is bringing upon us as a church the times again to live out Corinthians, to live out Galatians, to live out Ephesians, to live out Thessalonians, to live out Timothy, to live out Philemon, to live out all the epistles, that the things that are written in those epistles will not just remain on the pages of Scripture, but it will be what has entered into the heart of men. And men without can know it and can also read it in the name of Jesus. So the Lord will show us mercy. Again, the Lord, you know, by mercy began, you know, communicating some epistle live wisdom through his servant to us last week, Tuesday, which I would just labor around again by God's mercy. And I trust the Lord that the Lord would bless us greatly in the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy, we are in the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy, this is the letter of Paul to his dear son Timothy, his son in the faith. 1 Timothy from verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. So part of the hope of the gospel, part of the hope of journeying, part of the hope of becoming a believer, part of the hope of being quickened in our spirit is our Lord Jesus Christ. Is the end of we becoming like him. He said, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. So the hope of the gospel is that in hope of eternal life, Titus, which God who cannot lie promised before the world began, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before the world began. So there is a hope in the gospel. There is a reason why we got quickened. There is a reason why the day we got quickened, we were not immediately raptured to heaven. We're not immediately taken away from the earth. There is an hope in the gospel. And this hope is locked up in two persons. God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ. The hope is in two persons. In Ephesians, it said that you might know the hope of his calling. Ephesians chapter 1, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So there is a hope in the gospel. The gospel is not a gospel without an hope. The gospel is not a gospel without an hope. There is a hope in the gospel. And the hope in the gospel are inheritance of two persons, our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Savior. God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So this is the hope of everyone who wants to journey with the Lord. This is the hope of those who will still yet become born again in 2026. Those who will still yet become born again in the year 2025. Those who will still yet become enlightened in the year 2030. There is a hope. And that hope are in God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a hope of our salvation. There is a hope of our quickening. And this hope should be the reason why every one of us is following the Lord. Paul was saying in the book of Romans, the Romans now act, he said, our fathers were instantly serving God because of the hope. There was a hope wherewith the fathers were serving the Lord. Can you give me that scripture very quickly? Acts 26, verse 7. It said, unto which promise our fathers or our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. You know, I said to Agrippa, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jew. What is the hope? The hope to come. The hope of the life to come. The hope of the age to come. This is the reason why we are serving God. This is the reason why everybody as a believer should wake up. This is the reason why you are serving the Lord. It's an hope to come. There is an hope in the gospel. It's not an hopeless gospel. The hope of the gospel are not things ephemeral. The hope of the gospel are not things natural. The hope of the gospel is not anything here. Because if it were to be that the hope of the gospel is everything here, now Jesus would not have said that heaven and earth will pass away. If the hope of the gospel is things natural, the scripture will not say that the earth and the heavens will melt away with fervent heat. Your hope is not even in heaven. Our hopes are not in heaven. Our hopes are in a being. Our hope is in the Father and in the Son. That is the hope of a believer. That is the hope of a believer. That is why we have a hope. That is why we have a hope. We should know what we are affirmed in. We have a hope. We have a hope. We have a hope that is alive. We have a hope that is alive. If our hope, Paul was saying, I think that to the church in Galatians now, he said to them, if in this life alone we have hope in Christ. Corinthians, thank you. 1 Corinthians 15:19, talking about resurrection, teaching around resurrection. I said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. So if Christ is not resurrected, if there is no hope of eternal life, if there is no hope of resurrection, then we will still remain in our sins. He said, then they also which are falling asleep in Christ, those who died in the Lord, they are perished. Because then there is no hope. Then he now said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if the reason why we got quickened, the reason why we got born again, the reason why we are going to church, the reason why you wake up every Sunday, get your family ready for church and run to church, the reason why you come for meetings during the week, you have midweek service depending on the church you go to, you have different meetings, you are in the workforce. If all this reason is just tied around this life, then we have all men most miserable. We have all men most miserable because there is an hope in Jesus. And that hope is the hope of inheritance. It's the hope of getting persons. So if in this life alone we have hope, then in Christ, then we have all men most miserable. We have an hope, dearly beloved. I just find that stirring in my spirit and I just wanted to just catch on that wind as we continue this afternoon. We have a hope. We have a hope. I want you to know that you have a hope. There is a reason why God called you. You are not an hopeless being. You are not an hopeless being. Your hope is not to get your next building raised. Your hope is not to get your next car purchased. Your hope is not to get that child you've been waiting for years. Your hope is to get God. The reason why you got quickened. In Revelation chapter 4, scripture said, he said, I created all things for your pleasure. They are and were created. There is a reason why God brought you here. There is a reason why he went as far as sending his only begotten son down to earth to get you born again. That your spirit that was once condemned to hell will be regenerated. They redeemed our spirit, made our spirit new. Gave us a new spirit that is connected to a being that is alive. So you have a hope, dearly beloved. I want you to say with me, say to yourself, I have a hope. Say, I have a hope. It's called hope of eternal life. The fullness of this hope is the hope that God promised before the world began. Long before we were created, long before this world began, God promised it. God had to swear an oath to himself. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Promised before the world began. Now, don't be afraid that you would, some things in the natural will not happen. Now, if you begin seeking this hope of eternal life, Jesus said it in another way in Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek ye first this hope. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first this hope. This hope that has been promised to everyone. Everyone that has been called with a calling to come into life, seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. You see, these things are just additions. They can be added, but there is a reason for your regeneration. The reason for your regeneration is not just only to join the church workforce. It's beautiful. We need people to work in the church. It's wonderful. But the reason for your regeneration is to have this hope. He said, he that has this hope in himself, purified himself as even as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. So this hope will purify you of the drosses that this earth had to flesh. There is dross, that flesh hard to a natural man, that makes the man not go for the things that is locked up in heaven for him. It's an hope reserved in heaven. Is an inheritance reserved in heaven. So when you have this hope, you will begin to purify yourself. Even as he is pure, Jesus lived by this hope, who for the joy set before him. Jesus lived constantly every day by this hope. This was the hope that was in Jesus. So this hope kept our Lord Jesus pure. He kept him pure. So he that has this hope should also do what Jesus did. Purify himself, even as he himself is pure. The Lord is redefining our hope. The Lord is redefining our hope. There is a reason why we got quickened. I love that opening encouragement of Paul to his son Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. God, our Savior, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Those are our hope. The hope of every believer is God and Jesus. No wonder that Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, this is life eternal, that they may know the hopes. This is life eternal, that they might know the hopes. And the hope is the true God. And Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That is the hope of the gospel. I bring you good news this afternoon. That is the hope of your gospel. That is the hope. That is the reason why God quickened you. That is the reason why God made you alive. You see, that day you got born again, that you can't even remember the message that you were taught. Some can remember, some cannot. That you just went and said, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. That was the hope that was pushing you. That was the hope that moved you out. It was that hope. It was for that hope's sake that the Holy Ghost quickened your spirit and brought you into the fold. It was for that hope's sake that you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It's for that hope's sake. So you are called to know these two hopes. God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue. Just found us staring, and I believe that has ministered to somebody this afternoon. Amen. Unto Timothy, my son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. That is, took time to labor around the thoughts of grace, mercy, and peace. And I remember that he's saying that these are not just, you know, one of the things that I feel had not helped us so much as believers, as saints, as those who are looking for the Lord, is the fact that many a times English definition of what we know concerning commodities, properties, substances in the Lord that are real, that are alive. Grace, English definition had made us lower them and bring them into the realm of just academical understanding. Now, when we hear the word grace, when we hear the word mercy, when we hear the word peace, these are living entities. They are not just, you know, Daddy used the word yesterday. I'm sure the person must have been inspired by the Lord. Very beautiful inspiration. Heard it many times. A lot of definitions around grace. We call it unmerited favor. Somebody said it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Just an acronym for grace. Very beautiful. Very lovely. But you see, grace is an energy of life. In John chapter 1, Jesus said, Bible said concerning our Lord Jesus, he said he was full of grace. Now, I put it in a way, I love the way he began opening it. He said, for the law was given by Moses. So the law was something that Moses gave to the children of Israel that they live by. But Jesus had something he gave. There's something that Jesus gave. What did he give? Jesus gave grace and truth. Now, this grace and truth are commodities in Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, he said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth
is in Jesus. So we see truth is in Jesus. Grace also is in him. Because he said in that John chapter 1, verse 14, he said, and the word was made flesh and it dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So meaning Jesus, let's imagine Jesus as a container. Now there is a content in Jesus. There's something poured into Jesus. So these substances are real. To us, they don't look real. But when you ask Jesus, what is grace? Jesus can give you what grace is. That he call it an enabler. It's an energy that every child of God will have. I remember so many years ago, God's servant, Daddy, Pastor Baker Guchuku, defining grace. And he talked about grace as, many times, I'm waiting for grace. But he said grace would come into action when you take the initial step. Because you need faith. It is grace that is working by faith. You need faith to operate some level of grace. You just take a step and you begin to see that there is already an enabling grace. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So it is by faith into this grace where wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So there is grace that is made available to us as children of God. This grace are enabling energies from God towards his children. God uses grace to enable us. God uses grace to make us. Grace are not just commodities that are esoteric. They are living commodities. Remember that angel came to Daniel and told Daniel, he said, I've come to give you skill and understanding. Now, if somebody is saying skill is something that can be given, you know, many times for us, we think skill is something that I can go to school and learn some skills. So that can give us a lowered definition of what we call skill. But this angel came with a property from heaven. He called it skill and understanding. Now, he needs skill to be able to navigate through the scriptures of truth. So you can open Bible, open the scripture when skill is not given. Now, these skill are spiritual commodities. So Daddy kept talking last week. Kept talking about grace. That Paul was talking to Timothy, his son, about. He said, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith. Then expanding the faith, he said, the properties, what you find in the faith. What is in that faith is called grace, is called mercy, and is called peace. Now, this reminds me of what Jesus said to them. I think that should be Matthew, is it 23 now, when he was talking about the weightier matters of the law. Thank you. He said, woe unto you, scribe, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin. And have omitted the weightier matter of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So you see, the law that the Lord gave, it was just that sin took occasion of that law. Now, anyone that does the law well, that person will be able to receive Christ. But something came and twisted the law, made them omit weightier matters of the law, and give credence to the lighter matters of the law, which are also part of the law. The issue of tithes is a part of the law. You know, a lot of people they've so learned that they've learned above tithe. And I wonder what they learned. Now, Jesus was not saying, yeah, don't pay tithe. He just told them, you neglected, you omitted. Now, in a curriculum of 10 subjects, you left out 8 subjects. And those 8 subjects, you know, for probably those who've been through a university, there are some courses that I think they are units. Is it unit they call it now? Yes, can be very high. Some are 4-unit course, some are 6-unit course. Now, if you neglect a 6-unit course and do a 1-unit course, my brother, your GPA is gone. So Jesus was telling them here that your GPA in the spirit is gone. You've done something. Now you attended class for a one-unit course and you passed it well. You had maybe like 100 in a one-unit course. And you have 20 in a six-unit course. It's as good as you didn't do any exam. Because you failed. So Jesus is telling them that the law has something called weightier matters. The tithe is also a matter in the law. But there are weightier matters of the law. Judgment is a weighty matter. Mercy is a weighty matter. One thing you know that the Pharisees lacked, they lacked mercy. They lacked law. They lacked judgment. So these are things in the law that Jesus gave. They lacked faith. They lacked faith. He said, but go learn. Give me that scripture. Thank you. Matthew chapter 9. He said, but go ye learn what this minute. I would have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now you see these people, Jesus told them, he said, you go a mile to make one a proselyte. But he said, you make him twice the child of hell. So you see, these people, they keep the weighty matter of the law. They keep the lighter matter of the law, but they leave the weighty matters. So they are like students who pay attention to a two-unit course, a one-unit course, but is handling with negligence a four-unit course, a six-unit course. The cumulative GPA we have will show that he failed. But everybody, we would have seen him do exams, but he omitted the weightier matters of the law. He omitted faith. He omitted mercy. He omitted judgment. So when we hear the matter around grace, mercy, and peace, these are weighty matters. These are things that a believer's heart needs to be adorned with. Your heart has to be adorned with grace. He said it is good for the heart to be established with grace. Hebrews chapter 13. Be not carried away by divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein, and neither can it profit them. It has never profited anybody, neither will it profit them. But grace has a profit. Because grace has live energies. Daddy called it last week, energies. Energies of God. So grace carries energies of life. So it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And part of how people assess meats that do not profit them is by strange doctrines. When you stay within the doctrines of life, the doctrines of truth, you would assess grace. When you are hearing sound doctrine, not the doctrine that puffs you up, not the doctrine which I would get to, but just say it on the side and come back there, just emphasizing two things. One of the two major things that Daddy said last week that blessed me, stay within the other ones, under my father, under my parent, under my parent, speaking to my generation. Because I know this is an ill to most people in my generation. The ill of not understanding how to stay under parents. The ill of wanting quickly to become a father. You see a 25-year-old boy, he says a father. You see somebody 30-year-old is a father. And you wonder, what are you fathering? So it's a good thing for the heart to be established. Grace establishes the heart. Grace makes the heart unmovable. Grace roots the feet of a man in life. Because it's called the grace of life. What grace ends up giving is life. Likewise, the husband dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto weaker vessels, as being heirs of grace of life. So what grace brings, the end result of grace is that grace will give you life. Meat will not give you life. Grace has live energies that it delivers to the soul. When a soul is established in grace, you see that soul has life. That soul will live. That soul will be palpitating according to the order of life. That soul will not be a soul that is just empty. It will be a soul that has life. When you come around such soul, you will smell the aroma of life. But when a soul is carried away by strange doctrine, it's a strange doctrine not to honor fathers. It's a strange doctrine. It's a strange doctrine to heal up teachers for yourself because you have itching ears. Teachers that will only speak what is convenient for you and not touch you. It's strange doctrine. Those are the troubles that Paul began talking about. We're still going to go there. I want us to trust God to touch it. He said, for time will come when men will no longer endure sound doctrine. What will sound doctrine do? Sound doctrine will do what Paul was also saying to Timothy in 1 Timothy. He said, the Lord has not given us spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy. He said, he hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind. Sound doctrine will make the mind sound. The reason why a lot of believers don't have sound mind is because we hear strange doctrine. We have strange mind. It's a strange thing not to know how to learn how to honor fathers. Strange. It's absurd. It's even an angel, you'll be strange to an angel in the spirit. If they could so honor Michael, angels that serve with him, they honor him. He said, no, hold that, we accept Michael, your prince. I was there until Michael came. Huh? But we come into some strange knowledge that will make you despise fathers. A strange doctrine. And once you are giving attention to strange doctrine, dearly beloved, you have strange mind. I'm sorry. I feel, forgive me. I'm just speaking by the anointing. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Please. I'm sorry. But we need to do well in our generation. We need to do well. There is an heel upon this generation. Satan is attacking this generation. We don't know. If really we know what is attacking, which by God's grace, God will show us mercy to touch one or two of them this afternoon. If we know what he's attacking, we will run away from him anytime he's telling us a lie to despise fathers. If we know what he's attacking, we will run. The Lord will show us mercy in the name of Jesus. So God's servant began talking about the issue of grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Mercy is a very beautiful commodity. Mercy is... I see mercy, you know, just picking a cue from what God's servant said last week, Tuesday. Mercy is God's decision to love you in spite. It's just what I... He said, I would have mercy upon whom I would have mercy. And compassion on whom I would have compassion. So God's mercy is just an activity, a commodity in him that makes him love us in spite. Now, why did I say that? God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners. Now tell me, what did any one of us do to bring Jesus to earth? we were dead. We were completely dead. We don't even know whether we needed a Jesus. In fact, when he came to earth, we killed him. You see how bad we were? So it was mercy that was instructing the Lord. God, who is rich in mercy. It was the riches of his mercy that was bringing him. He said, who is rich in mercy? For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead. When we were dead, he sent his only begotten son. Before we were born, before you were even born by your parents, before you got born again, Jesus had paid the ultimate sacrifice for you. That's mercy. That's something we can't understand. That's something we cannot fathom. That's something we can't break through into the fabric of it. How did God do it? You know, naturally speaking, people would tend to have mercy to people that, as it were, seem to be merciful. You know, it's just scarcely for a righteous man. We won't even dare to die. That's a righteous man. He said, "Was scarcely for a righteous man, we won't die." He had peradventure for a good man. Some would not even dare. Now, this is a righteous man. It would be scarce to find one that would die for a righteous. Now, for a good man, nobody would dare. But God, say with me, but God, say, but God commended his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, that's high-powered mercy. We were sinners, but Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died even for those who killed him. Still on the cross, while he was going to die, he was still able to save a man. What a being. What a being of mercy. What a being that has been wrapped, walked upon, written upon, and made fashioned by mercy. If I was me, I would have just mind my business. It's enough that people are nailing me to the cross when I did nothing. I didn't commit any crime. I didn't kill anybody. I fed you people 5,000. I fed you 4,000. I did miracle amongst you. I raised your dead. I healed your sick. Somebody that's been at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. I made him walk again. So what did I not do for you people? And you are killing me. And somebody is down on the cross poking me again. I'll just mind my business. I just close my eyes as if everything is gone. I just mind my business. I don't want to hear you people. But Jesus could still have mercy upon him. That's a work of mercy. That's a work of love. He said today, not tomorrow, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, that's a work of mercy. So when we say mercy, 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 many times we don't really understand this commodity, what it is. And that, last week ending it on this particular verse 2, ending it on the matter of peace. Peace is also a very high commodity that we don't know anything about. Peace is very, very powerful. It was God's lovely servant, God's handmaiden, Pastor Joyce Meyer, that was saying one time, he said, nobody has peace when they are going to die. You are on a death roll to be hanged. You really don't have peace. You have a lot of trouble. You are looking at what would happen to your children, the family you left behind, what will happen to this. And most importantly, when you know that you are being put to death over a cause that you know nothing about. All you will be trying to do is to prove your innocency. He said, but Jesus, being fully aware that very soon he's going to be taken. They've not even taken him. But he's aware he's going to be taken very soon. And he told the disciples, "Say, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth." He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace. I have a peace. My peace I give unto you." So meaning this thing can be given. So these are living commodities. These are realities. You see, when Jesus is talking about peace, Jesus is not just talking about calmness. Jesus is saying something, a commodity in the spirit, which David made an allusion to in Psalm 119. He said, "Great peace have them that love your law." Those who love your law, they've come into peace. You will keep him, Isaiah, you will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you? Why? Because his trust is in you. That will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind? So meaning this mind has come to the point of peace. He has come to life and peace that Jesus gives. He said, "For the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded, life and peace. So meaning that mind that Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 24 is the mind that has come to, 26 rather, is a mind that has come to life and peace. So such a mind cannot be troubled even when you trouble him. If I were to be Jesus that don't have peace, I would just run away from Jerusalem. I run to Ethiopia. At least I've got Ethiopian Enoch. Okay? I'm sure they would have been coming to. They would have been, I would have just run and go and hide. At least if they don't see me, they can't catch me. But Jesus had a peace. He had a law running him. So peace is not just an abstract property. Peace is as a result of the laws inside of you. So the reason why a lot of people cannot come to peace is because they have wrong laws. They are written upon by wrong laws. They are written upon by laws of haste. Laws of violence. Laws that make a man agitated. But when the laws of the Lord are engraved and embossed upon the heart, that heart will come to peace. You know, David says something in Psalm 23 that is always so scary. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. Is it possible to eat in the presence of your enemy? You have to be a man of peace. You have to be a man of peace. You have to be a man that within there is peace. That the Bushi said there can be trouble without. There must not be trouble within you. Within you, you must be a man of peace. And what makes us a man of peace is not just, I'm at peace. It's not confession. You can't confess your way to peace. Because when some life challenges hit you, you will run out of peace. You will aspire peace. But you see, when Paul was writing to Timothy, Paul knows that Timothy, this is a son that has come to peace. This is a son that understands laws of peace. So peace is a law. Peace can be written upon the heart. So when Jesus was telling them, I give you. So he was giving them what has been done inside of him. So he could counsel them, let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. What a man of peace Jesus was. Excuse me. A man that they caught him and he was just so at peace. He could still answer everybody. Jesus was, and I don't see why Paul was making reference for the joy set before him. So what Jesus was seeing, all that experience of Jesus from when they caught him at the Garden of Gethsemane till when he was crucified on the cross and he was led to hell, he was led to the tomb for 3 days, spent 3 days in hell and came back, all that Jesus was seeing was the joy set before him. That's a man of peace. And those are the things that sound doctrine wants to work upon our hearts. No wonder Paul was saying to them, don't give attention to strange doctrine. Strange doctrine will take away your grace. Strange doctrine will take away your faith. Strange doctrine will take away your peace. Strange doctrine will take away your mercy. When strange doctrine works upon a heart, we will be observing what the prophet was talking about, lying vanities. He said, those who observe lying vanities, they are forsaking their own mercy. Prophet Jonah. They that observe lying vanities. What is lying vanities? It's strange doctrines. Because strange doctrines are all lies. He said that you henceforth be no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Winds of doctrine. Strange doctrine will make a man. Thank you. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind. Carried away by every wind of doctrine, by slate of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in way to deceit. What really is deception? Is lie. So when we observe lying vanities, deceptive vanities, will forsake our mercy. How do we observe lying vanities? We pay attention to strange doctrines. The Lord has blessed us as a house with parents that Jesus has walked upon to be able to give us sound doctrine. Stay. Because what you eat, what you feed upon, what you eat would determine the kind of person you become. I say that again. What you eat, what you feed upon, what you pay attention to, what you hear, what you allow enter into your mind and into your heart, what you take in. I love that parable that Jesus was explaining to them. And he said, it is not what a man takes into his mouth that defiles the man. What defiles the man is not what I eat. No, what you eat naturally, what it can do is it can break down your body if you are not careful. It's also a kind of a defilement. But the defilement that Jesus was talking about is not the defilement of the inner man. And we're going to get there. Just leave it in that Matthew 15:11. Because at times some of us say, it doesn't matter what I know. What you eat to your mouth also matters. You can eat things that will break down your body. So be careful what you allow goes into your mouth. But Jesus is saying here, Jesus was trying to make reference to something. And he talked about defiling. And this defiling is a condition in the heart. He said, not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth of the man. Verse 12, quickly. For out of the heart cometh all evil things. Quickly, if you can ever find that place, let's just read it, then I'll move to my next emphasis. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Now, how did this enter into the heart? God's servant, was it yesterday or so? Or day before yesterday in church on Sunday, was talking about things that we allow enter into our mind. When something takes over the reins of your mind, it would enter into your heart. And once he enters into your heart, that defines you. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is the man. So Jesus said, it's not what you put into your mouth that defiles your heart. Yeah? But it's what you allow through the two doorways that the Lord had provided for the soul to be fed. The eyes and the ear. What you see and what you hear feeds your mind. Feeds your mind. Some of us would not have committed some errors in life if not by what we saw. Some of us would have been so wonderful a child if not by what we heard. You just heard something and the thing began to trouble you. Because some of those words carry spirit. And the spirit can follow you home and begin to instruct you further. So what a man takes into the mouth does not defile the heart. It only breaks down the body. But what a man allows to enter into his ear and he sees with his eye can enter into the mind and from there into the heart. And when he enters into the heart, he begins to define the man. So when you see somebody is a stubborn man, he's a stubborn man because of things in his heart, because of laws of stubbornness written upon his heart. When you see somebody does not listen to authority, he's not just listening to authority because he doesn't want to. It's a law already written in his heart. So out of that place, a flow of don't listen to authority will flow out. So the Lord wants to make us a people of grace, a people of mercy, and a people of peace. Can we say amen? So my last emphasis, let me just use that to emphasize the latter part of today's meeting. So let's just read further. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that I might charge them that they teach no other doctrine. We've talked a little bit about this. Neither give ye to fables an endless genealogist which minister question, rather godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of the pure heart and of a good conscience, of faith or fame, from which some had swerved, for which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayer, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I thank God, Jesus, our Lord, who had enabled me and counted me faithful and putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord exceeding abundantly with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Albeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, might shew forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. For a pattern to them which would hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Continue 17. Now unto the King immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. And that it took time to stay around this last week, the issue of Paul calling Timothy his son. Now, of course, it's staying under my father. I have a father. I'm not fatherless. I have a father. I have parents that I submit under, and I call them fathers because they are fathers, because according to the gospel, they've begotten me. They are fathers. Now, there's been a whole lot of, and it's been not just now, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 23, call no man your father. Can you give me that place? I stayed around it last week, and I'll just stay around that a little to encourage young men like me. I'm a young man, you know, to encourage those in our generation, to make us see the ill that the enemy, you know, we are fighting with a skillful warrior. We are fighting an enemy that is ancient. We are fighting an enemy that was created even before our head was fully, fully furnished. We are fighting an enemy that was created before our father Adam was made. What God did was created heaven and earth. He furnished the heavens first. Angels were there. Before God now came to earth, after Satan had fallen, God came to earth, brought out the earth out of the water, formed our father Adam. So we are fighting an enemy that is not just, that is, that according to Ezekiel, Ezekiel said he was, leave it here. Ezekiel said, Ezekiel 28, right? He said he was full of wisdom. This being is perfect in what he does. It's perfect in beauty. He said, you've been in Eden, the garden of God. So he's, you are not fighting an ignoramus. We are not fighting an enemy that is ignorant. We are fighting an enemy that can make you make the same mistake over and over again if mercy is not shown unto you. You can be defending him in your mistake if you are not careful. Now, back up a little. I think that should be from verse 5, thereabout. Matthew 23. So I want our heart to please be open. Just before you throw stones at this small boy, just follow me and listen a little. And let's just trust God to, by scripture, help ourselves. Because really, they are given to us for life. They are given to us for salvation. They are given to us for a change. Let's not remain in our folly. Let not a liar cheat us of our inheritance. Because when you say you remove fathers, what you have just removed, basically, you've removed inheritance. You've said to children, you shall not inherit. God will help us. We'll look at one or two scriptures this afternoon and trust the Lord that we will come to the place of repentance. We will come to the place of wisdom to discern our fathers again, to discern blessings that flows from the fathers again. Verse 5 of that Matthew, he said, but all their works that they do are done to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the market, to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi, which means teacher or master. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Give me the next verse. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. For he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now, obviously, Jesus was addressing a matter here. Jesus was addressing a matter. Jesus was addressing a spirit. Jesus was addressing something that the Pharisees had won. Jesus was addressing what the Pharisees had become one with. Now, give me John chapter 8. So that we'll know who these people are. Then come back here. Move it further. Move it up a little. Let's talk about them. Then we'll come to this verse 44. Yes, thank you. Now, the Pharisees, therefore, you see, the same people that Jesus was addressing in Matthew chapter 23. Just follow me. And I'm sure that we'll be blessed. The same people that Jesus was addressing in Matthew chapter 23. Now, you see, when the Lord Jesus, our Lord, is speaking, Jesus is not just a minister of letter. Jesus is a spirit minister. Jesus speaks to address spirits in the air. Jesus is, he said, the word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John chapter 8 from verse 13. He said, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, you are talking about yourself. Thou bearest record of thyself. And your record is not true. Now, you should understand also that you see, when you see these Pharisees at work, who is speaking through them? It's Satan. It's not just them. It's Satan speaking through them. Now, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Next verse. Quickly, let's move very fast. Ye judge after the flesh. And ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Next verse. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and my Father that sent me bear witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know him, nor me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. Next verse. This was spake Jesus in the treasury, and as he taught in the temple, and no man could lay hold on him, for his hour has not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews unto him, does he want to kill himself? Where is he going to? Now, let's go down a little. So, we've established that he was speaking to the Pharisees. Now, take me back to, is it 33 that you opened then? And from above, you are from beneath. No. Quickly. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. So you see, the life that the Pharisees were bearing witness to, that Jesus wanted to put an end to, that life is a beneath life. That life should not father any man. So don't call such a being your father. Don't allow the beneath life to father you. So I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. Next verse. Then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said from you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Move down to 40. But now you seek to kill me because I tell you the truth, which I have heard of you, because he said, Abraham is not their father. They got angry. Which I have heard of you. This did not Abraham. Next verse. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I proceed forth from him and came from him. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So Jesus told them, you are of your father the devil. So who he was addressing in Matthew 23 is actually who the devil gave birth to. Now if you allow who the devil gave birth to father you, you would also be of the father the devil. Remember Jesus said in John, I think that should be John. The Gospels of John. You know, he said, for I know you not. Many will come to me in that day. Is it John or Matthew? Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, in your name, we've done this. We've casted out devil. Matthew, thank you. Matthew 7. He said, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many of them will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? Next verse, quickly. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Now, this word knew you, the same word that it will be is used in Genesis, and Adam knew his wife, and Abraham knew his wife. Now, the knowledge, Jesus telling you, I never had cause of begetting you. I never had cause of intercoursing you. So the fatherhood that you carry is not of mine. So he was telling the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, you have a father. You have your father, the devil. So this fatherhood should not fill the earth. Don't let this fatherhood procreate on the earth. So don't call this type of father your father. Because there is a way fatherhood is done. I will just see a little of it. Forgive me. I think we're all but done, but the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 4, 15. Now, Paul used the word for his son, Timothy. And I'd like to check a meaning in the Strong's interpretation. It said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Now the word begotten there means of men who father children. It means to father a child. In another sense, it means to of one who brings, is that in a Jewish sense, of one who brings others over to his way of life. So when you hear the word father, fatherhood cannot be done because you go meet a minister and they lay hand upon you today and say, I've become your father automatically. Fatherhood is done by begotten. Somebody must have labored over you before you can call him a father. He said, of one who brings others over to his way of life. Now let's go quickly to Timothy first. Timothy, is it 1 Timothy now? 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. Let's go up a little. Let's see from verse 1. Let's see from verse 1. Is that this know ye that in the last times, perilous times shall come, men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You see, disobedient to parents. Now the word parents here means father and mother. Yeah? Father and mother. And the same word Paul used in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He said, for this is right. Now, the word right there is righteous. So it is righteousness to be obedient to parents in the Lord. It is unrighteousness not to have where we can trace you to. I saw a scripture today and the thing shook me a little. Now this would help us a little. I said, sorry, I'm taking a lot of scriptures, but I would take time to explain my thought and we'll be done. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 10 and 11. He said, woe unto him, 10, verse 10. Stay on verse 10 first. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what have you begotten? Or to the woman, why have you brought me forth? Now, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things concerning my son. So fathers can give account of sons. He said, concerning the works of my hand, you can't ask me, just command me. But concerning son, ask me. So I have account of my sons. I can tell you concerning my sons. So sons are, for people who say, so person is my father. And if they pick a phone to call that your father, he doesn't know jack about you. He doesn't know what you are doing or what you are. And then you are not a son. For you to be a son, you should have been brought into the way of life of that person. We were at a wedding recently, and somebody from one of our, you know, wonderful denominations of faith in the body of Christ in Nigeria came. And as this, all the person came to do was just to take a Bible reading for the wedding. But you see, as we saw him, his demeanor, the way his carriage, we said, this person is just carrying himself like the Jew of their ministry. Why? Because he has, you see, you can't, some people say, okay, you are imitating your pastor. Who else will I imitate? Is it you? Paul said, be ye imitators. Be ye followers of me. Be ye imitators of me as I am also imitating Christ. Is it you I want to imitate? No, I have a father. I should imitate him. I should look like him because he brought me. The word begotten means being brought to a man, another person's way of life. He said, of one which brings others over to his own way of life or to convert someone. So the fact that somebody said jokingly one time, you know, he said the angels that work for God's servant in the our father in the faith in Nigeria, Daddy Adeboye, he said the angels that work for Adeboye, they are very strong angels. So he sows seed into Baba Adeboye's life so that his angels can come and work for him. That's not how it works. You have to submit to the doctrine. You have to submit to the disciplines of that man. You have to be a man begotten by the gospel. I can't be an online father. You are fathering somebody online. You don't know him. Maybe the person is a thief and he says he's your father. So when somebody is your father, when somebody is your father, the first thing must have, Paul said, you can have many instructors in Christ. In fact, he used the word 10,000. That can instruct you around Christ's pattern. I said, but you don't have many fathers because I begat you. He talked about Onesimus. He said, whom I begat in my bonds. So what do we use to begat? The tool of begatting is gospel. You have to have preached to the person. Give me that 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, they will be heady, disobedient to parents, you know. Traitors, eddy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, go down. Having a form. So you see, many times when we read these things, we feel he's just talking to unbelievers. He said they have a form of godliness. But what they are denying is the power of change. So you can be in church. If care is not taken, you can be taken by perilous times. And the heel of perilous times is what we have now. Disobedient to parents. Calling out fathers on social media. We should not be in that generation. We should run from things like that. Give me Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, we'll come back here. Proverbs 30 verse 11. He said there is a generation that cursed their father and doth not bless their mother. Go down. You see what is the terrible ill of that generation. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. Next verse. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are they in their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. Now you will see, a child really that has a father has shamefacedness. When you are proud, you are lofty, it's because it shows us that you don't have a father. When you are too high of yourself, you don't have somebody that can call you to order. And that's why people can easily run their mouth. Forgive me, please, I'm not attacking anybody. They can easily run their mouth on social media. We need fathers. We can't do without them. What they carry in them are blessings. Now, if Isaac was not conscious of the fact that he has a father called Abraham, he would have missed the blessing. Jacob knew how important staying under blessing is. He fought for it. He fought for the birthright. Don't be quick to want to be somebody's father. Go submit yourself under. Go look for someone that will begat you by the gospel. Go look for a teacher that will teach you sound doctrine. Some of us might not be here in Nigeria. You might be outside the country. But go look for somebody that is sound. He might not have high revelation, but he's sound. You have watched his life. This one has a stable life. Just pick a father online. He will give back to you online. You have children online. You have online life. Because this generation, they are lofty in their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up. Verse 11, verse 14, quickly. There's a generation whose teeth are a sword. And this is talking about this generation. Somebody goes on social media, you are tearing down a very high hallowed servant like Baba Deboy Abba. Are you not afraid? Your teeth is like a sword. And their jaw like knives. They devour the poor. Who are the poor? Those are fathers, meek fathers, meek men of the earth. Meek, they are just the poor from off the earth. And the needy from among people. The horse leech had two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are not satisfied. Yea, four things that say there is not enough. The grave, the barren woman womb, the head that is filled with water, that is not filled with water, the fire that saith, not, it is not enough. The high that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The raven, you see what will happen? What will happen? Why we need to be afraid? He said the raven of the valley will pick it out. That high that looks down on his mother. That high that looks down on his father. That high that looks at the womb that gave birth to you in the gospel and says nothing. He said raven of the valley will pick it out. And the young eagle shall eat it. Is there anything in verse 18? Okay, verse 17 is fine. He said, the young eagle will eat it. I don't want to be a prey. You see, these are the trouble of the Jezebelic spirit. This was what the Lord raised Elijah. You see, the name Elijah is Lord God. This is what God raised Elijah for. He said, he will send, in Malachi chapter 4, he will send the servant who shall come in the spirit of Elijah to turn the heart of fathers to children. Remember you, the Lord Moses, my servant, which I commanded thee in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great day, great and dreadful day of the Lord. Next verse. And he shall turn the heart of fathers to the children and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come to smite the earth with a curse. So when we are cutting the umbilical cord that ties fathers to children, we are calling a curse. Don't let's bring a curse upon our generation. The fact that a father is not having high sounding revelation like you do, if he didn't pay the labor he paid, a lot of you got born again in their church. If he didn't pay the labor of fighting demons, fighting waiting on the Lord, receiving mercy of the Lord that got you initially born again, would you have this opportunity? They've been reading Bible before you were born. Now you feel you have a platform on social media. You have your own channel. And because of your channel, the best you could do is tear down fathers. You are calling for a cause. Let's be careful because of our generation. God kept fathers for inheritance. Fathers are there for the sake of inheritance. They are called progenitors. Samuel was a wise child. If Eli was not there, Samuel could have lost the voice of the Lord forever. God called him. He never knew God was calling him. Called him the first time, he went to Eli. Called him the second time, he went to Eli. He took Eli by age and discernment. This is the Lord. I know the way the Lord calls. Son, when he comes to you again, tell him, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. How would Samuel be able to discern that? You think you know what the fathers have gone through? You think you know the labors of the fathers? You think you know the demons they fought? You think you know the attacks they've had? He said, hey, it's because of hey, all these people. Hey, they're just buying jets. Can you go through the attack they go through? Because you are using social media please, forgive me. I'm not attacking anybody. But I'm just saying our generation has to be careful so that we don't bring a curse. These are the things that cut off transgenerational blessing. The thing has to move from one generation to another generation. Abraham had one. Isaac had two. Jacob had 12. But Jacob has enough sense to know that his fathers are greater than him. The fact that you are prospered and you are now big, don't think you are now bigger than your fathers. Jacob told Pharaoh. He said, when Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? I think that's Genesis 47. I said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few. And evil are the days of the years of my life. And I have not attained. What my fathers carry, I have not attained it. What they've done, the things that they've accomplished in God, I have not attained it. We need to be cautious. We need to call ourselves to order. And know that fathers are blessings. Fathers are way givers. They are blessings. What they carry is inheritance. There is a spirit fighting us. And this same spirit is what I believe somewhere, speaking under my parents, is this same spirit that fought some of those everlasting church. He called it the Jezebelic spirit. It is where the Jezebelic spirit is prospering that the spirit of Nicolaitan will prosper. What is Nicolaitan? Power to the people. So you cut off power from leaders, from fathers. We give everybody has power. That same doctrine was prospering in their midst. Because already Jezebel has come into their midst and turned the hearts of those who are following God, turned them away. Everybody is a prophet. He taught God's children how to eat things, sacrifice to idol. It's a food offered to idols when you dishonor fathers. It's an idolatrous food. Dearly beloved, I plead with us in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Stay under your fathers. Stay under fathers. They are for your blessing. He might not have your revelation. He might not have your vocabulary. Some of them might even be ministering in vernacular language, whether Yoruba, whether Igbo, whether Hausa. They might not be able to speak English. But God walked upon them. God called them. You were not born when they'd be following the Lord. Take what they have. Take what they will stand upon. Hide under them. Be like a Joshua standing and hiding under Moses that was not interested in taking over from Moses. God had to shout on Joshua, I have told you, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He wasn't interested in taking over. He was just a servant serving Moses. Don't be so much interested in limelight. Don't be so much interested in taking the stage. What is the benefit of you fathering children? An evil spirit will come, attack you, attack the children, and all of you will be gone. We have an enemy. We have spirits we are fighting against. we have spirits that are warring against us. Hide under fathers. I remember one time I went to minister somewhere and the attack was just too much. As I landed there to minister, the first thing I said was, no man go where to warn his own charge. Pastor Emeka sent me. Everybody was wondering, what did he say? You don't know what I was saying, but I know I'm a man under authority. I have a father and I'm okay being under my father. I don't want to father anybody. I want to remain a son. Jesus, our Lord, is a son. He's a son under God. Though he's a father, but he's a son under God. Stay under. I counsel us this afternoon, dearly beloved. I know some of us will say, but I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to be taken away by the heel of this generation. It's an heel to have a generation that their teeth is like sword. You just don't have to kill people. You just take, I want to tear down this, a minister says so and so and so, and I just want to set the record straight. What are you setting straight? Is Holy Ghost putting up anointing upon your head to set the record straight? Holy Ghost does not set record straight. Who are you? Who are you to judge another man's servant? Is he your servant? And you are setting record straight. Record of who Jesus called. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. And the Lord will show us mercy. Don't join them on this social media trend where they say, one minister does this, and you now begin to say, all pastors, your is volume. Just go away. Run away from such. Anywhere they are talking about ministers, run. Because they are somebody's servant. And if their Lord comes after you, he said, lest I come and smite the head with the curse. Don't let their Lord come after you. Just stay under. Stay under and we'll be blessed in the name of Jesus. Have we been blessed this afternoon? Can we just give thanks to our Father again for his mercy? For how the Lord has reached out to us again in this today's Epistle Live. God's mercy has been doled out again to us. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you, Jesus. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you. Thank you. Glory to your name. Thank you. Thank you. We are grateful to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week, Tuesday, on Epistle Live again. God bless you.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the